Right.
To sign.
Catherine Beinkoffner.
Present.
Joanne Myers.
Yeah.
Charles Landy.
Here.
Lisa Mitten.
Here.
Tom Kikandy is not here. Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
He's here.
He's here. Angelina Pioni.
I'm here, but we got to change that to Brandt.
Ooh,
whoa.
That's right.
It's official.
Who did that without?
I don't know. I have to take that up with somebody.
I think that Brenna should be chastised for that.
At least made aware.
Melinda France.
Here.
Brenna Whitaker.
She's in the other room.
Larry Rickey is here. Pledge of Allegiance, please. Congratulations.
Thank you.
My daughters told me they saw that. You didn't tell me. Pledge of allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Comments from the public. Do we have public? We have some public.
Comments.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn?
No, I think we need to keep it open for a while.
Yeah, it's a budget hearing.
Do we have anyone called in on WebEx? I wonder if Brenna could let us know.
Brenna? Is there anybody on call? No.
Finally some coffee. Can we start our other meeting or shall we just hang on for a while?
I would give it a little bit.
Yeah, only because of the weather. Carolyn, even doctors allow you a 10-minute window, a 15-minute window.
We could discuss this morning's issue about getting the documents out earlier before the meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know. As long as I've been here, they always came out on like Friday before the meeting. And the meetings have almost always been on Mondays. They might have been on Tuesday at one time, a long time ago.
Probably been on Mondays since me.
Since you've been here.
They've been on Mondays for a number of years. I think they were on Wednesdays for a while.
They might have been on Tuesdays at one point, too. A long, long time ago. Yeah. Anyway. How much of a problem is that to get it out sooner?
Whatever you guys want to do. Whatever you want to do.
It just gives us a little bit more time to read them thoroughly.
Like reading the minutes?
Yeah. Where my
Kathy
name
didn't do this time. Usually
where
I'm very
my name
good at reading
is,
the minutes.
It's spelled three different ways. Minor detail.
What is it that we don't get on email?
No, everything goes out on email.
Yeah, everything goes out.
Just as always going out on Friday. This past meeting, the only thing that didn't was the actual attachments for the job descriptions. Because I didn't do them. I did them Saturday morning from home. So they didn't go out until this morning.
Thank goodness you guys are all messed up in here. I said, sorry. I'll be meals.
Well, I think that it would be just easier for us if we got it. At least, the Wednesday, I think Tom had asked for Wednesday. And that way, I probably wouldn't read them on Wednesday because I teach,
until
10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, the only hang up that I'll end up having is like the treasurer's report a lot of times. I mean, especially with the meetings earlier in the month. Generally speaking, 30-day cutoff for AP is good, and I've always done it, within usually 20 to 25 days in order to get the treasurer's report out on a Friday.
Well, so, if we had most of the stuff, by Thursday morning, or for me, because that's when I would read it, and then if your treasurer's report has to be, an add-on on Saturday, I didn't see an issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just getting something this morning.
Well, the part about that was it said that these were amended.
Yeah.
So I didn't have time to look through to figure out what was new and what was different and print out some new pages. I just don't have that much time on a Monday morning when I have to get here and all the other things that need to be done to start my week. So I don't know what was in there. You know, I guess the job descriptions, as we discussed.
Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah. So anything that's not done by Wednesday, I just won't. I'll pull it from the meeting if I was planning on doing it.
And just do it. Yeah, just send it. Yeah, as amended. You know, for addition.
Yeah, because I lost.
I think we're reasonable people.
No, I lost half a week last week, so it's. I didn't actually get to do real work for half of last week for obvious reasons. Okay. So sometimes even no matter what my plan, Charlie will tell you, sometimes no matter what you have planned around here, you never know where the day is going to take you.
I understand.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put undue pressure.
Yeah. Like Thursday, all of a sudden, where there was clicking going on in the server room and everything shut down. So.
I'm going to leave my comment to the meeting.
What was that?
Well, actually, I was reading through the office manager description. Is this a new position?
No, both of these positions are already on the books.
Okay, so it's an evolution of an existing position.
Yeah.
Which are filled.
They're not filled.
I guess my question was, I didn't see any super emphasis on technology. Like, I know over the years we've talked about how you've been heavily...
That wasn't... There's no intent on... Because there's a... When it comes to the technology thing, there's a level of experience, I think, and expertise involved in that. I wouldn't have put that in there anyway. Okay. A big part of that is organization and records and keeping everybody moving forward and organized is just a huge part of that. And we've got some changes that are going to be going on in the office here, you know, with a retirement coming up. So I'm just trying to plan ahead is all I'm trying to do.
And that's the other reason why we should have a policy on vaccinations, because there is turnover. And if you already have something, people are aware. Mm-hmm. Even though we've been really good.
Okay, I think those discussions should take place in the regular meeting, so we can probably end this. Did anybody have a motion to adjourn the public hearing?
Can I make a motion?
Okay.
To adjourn the public meeting?
I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
I have a question. If somebody does show up, can we move and hear their comments if they show up in the next 12 minutes?
It's up to the chairwoman.
Okay, I would like to put it out there that
if someone specifically has.
Okay.
We should hear them.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we have.
Okay.
That's only fair.
Okay. Thank you. Then I will
go
to adjourn the public hearing.
So get your minions in here.
All right.
Okay.
That's 4-0. Now, next we have the regular meeting. Roll call. Catherine Von Kaufman.
Present.
Joanne Myers.
Still here.
Charles Landy.
Here.
Lisa Mitten.
Here.
Tom Kakandis is absent. Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGrav.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
Here.
Angelina Brandt.
Here.
Melinda France.
Here.
Brenna Whitaker is in the building. Larry Rickey.
Here.
We've already done the Pledge of Allegiance, so public comment.
In public comment. Chair's comments. Okay. I'm still trying to set up something with the lady from California that we spoke with about the plastic lock building machinery.
Kelly Ramey.
Yeah, we were aiming for this week, and I haven't talked to her yet, so I will work on that. Paul Rubin has been working on the GIS, going through the different levels of maps to figure out possible landfill locations, and that's coming along really well. Rick Umbel from, I don't know, are they part of taxation or GIS mapping?
Real property tax.
Real property tax, okay. Right. He provided a huge, gigantic file that allows, it actually takes topographic information, it converts it into shaded zones so that you can see the topography on the base map, and then everything else can be imposed upon top of that, so it makes it easy to look at. And I have an example of that, but it's buried in my briefcase. If I find it, we'll take a look at that, pass it around.
Do you know when that work will be done?
I would guess before the next meeting.
Okay.
Which is October 25th?
Yeah.
That's good. The proposal said by the end of the year, so that's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
he's coming right along. Well, he has another project he has to work on after that, but he's trying to get this done so we can get on to the next.
I mean, potentially if he's not done, he could share with us a presentation of what he's developed so far, and we can offer comments and feedback.
I think he's going to be done.
Okay. Well, he's still a draft until we accept it.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, things could be changed if we had comments that would make them change.
Is he going to come and present it to us?
Well, we have yet to figure that out. He didn't know our meetings were public. Remember, the last guy quit because of the public aspect of it.
Seth Blackston.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how we're going to arrange that. We'll see. I don't know. The more people that know about it, the more NIMBY problem we're going to have if we have some locations. So somehow we have to very carefully deal with it on a public level. I don't know what's best to do. We'll just have to figure it out. Okay, the minutes of the August 23rd meeting.
Yeah, I would appreciate that my name be spelled consistently correctly.
Okay, do you know which pages you're looking
at? Oh, there's like three different variations of my name.
Well, how would you like it?
I would like it as it appears on the roll call.
Okay.
So there's a variation without the E in Joanne. There's a variation with two E's in Myers.
Okay,
so it just needs to, you know, a spell check going through. Like here on approval of the minutes from last time.
Yeah, I see.
There's one Myers. No relation to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a noble request to have your name spelled correctly.
You know? and then I think there's a few others in there.
Okay, well.
Anyway,
we will have to go through.
It's an easy thing.
Get that fixed. At least under the roll call vote, your name is right.
Yeah. And under most of the votes, my name is correct.
Okay. No, I don't blame you.
Okay, except for in the vaccination requirement and discussion, I have there's two different Joannes that are talking.
Okay.
And the only reason is because there are like three or four Joanne Myers in the greater Kingston area. So it could be one of those.
See, that's the advantage of having a name like Brian Kastner. There are no more of us. I am the very last one.
But other than that, I can see the minutes look fine, so I would. Suggest that we approve them.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 As amended.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay. Communications and announcements, next regular meeting, scheduled for October 25th at 12 PM. Can everybody make that date?
Yeah.
Okay. Before Halloween, so we don't have to be dressed up. So, general reports. Recycling outreach team program update.
Thank you so much, and I hope everyone got a chance to take one of these. This is a copy of our every door direct mailing that's gone out in the town of Ulster that we did this month. We have another mailing that we're going to do later this year, so this is just going to homes and businesses within a mile of the agency to outreach, do some outreach about our composting program and the benefits of it. And we're certainly quite busy with all sorts of projects, but I have been out of the office for a couple of weeks, so I actually asked Belinda to share some information about one thing we're really excited about, which is our new sculpture in the Education Center.
So if everyone just flips over the program update, you can see some pictures of Ucker's new addition to the family. And Flopsy. Flopsy is a water dragon, and she's approximately 13 feet long and 5 feet wide, and she is in our education building. She was created on October 2018 by an organization called Shout Out Saugerties, which they are an art organization. And she was created to raise awareness about plastic crowding our oceans and increasing the extinction of animals in the water and on land. Materials to create her were from garbage and recycling bins, especially from the Garlic Festival of 2018. And a lot of the bottles they pulled out from the Garlic Festival. There are green pieces of paper of poetry and wishes for the Earth's future stuffed into her tummy. So I probably can't see that right now, but if you go down into the tour, you'll see balls of green paper, and that's what they are in there. She has traveled to a few locations. She was on display at the Saugerties Reformed Church, where she began her life. And then she was on display at the Emergent Gallery. And then the Saugerties Library took her, and then they asked if we would adopt her. We had a group of students here Friday who loved seeing her on display. They were the first group to actually get to see her. And it was exciting to them because they were pointing out what items she was made from. So if anyone wants to see her, she is on display at our education program.
Wow. She is wonderful.
She's not. So thank you to Charlie's team for hanging her up.
Wow.
We have to feed her.
If you'd like to put any more green wishes in her belly. So how high is she hanging up?
16 feet.
16 feet.
Mm. That may require a ladder. Or a very long stick. Or a very long spoon. Lovely.
Does anyone have any questions about Foxy?
Yeah, I think she's wonderful. She should be featured on our website.
Our featured mascot.
Yeah.
Or Accra.
She was actually featured in they told me that she was featured in a short film from Shout Out Saugerties, and she's had some news coverage. So she is kind of famous.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay.
The only other thing I'll add is our last event is October 24th for hazardous waste, and we have about 10 appointments left for that event. And then we'll be full.
Uh-oh, Kathy better get signed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're supposed to be on Do Not Disturb. Sorry.
Anything else from our list of September 2021 recycling program update?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Okay, very good. we have the MSW tonnage report.
Yeah, we're still, not much else to say. We're still trending the same as we have. It's pretty consistent. And we're still, at this point, through August, 12% over our budgeted tonnages. And the same thing with the sludge is under, as I've spoken in the past. On the recycling end, one thing I want to point out is that I did for this month, and I went back and made changes to all of last year's monthly numbers. And if you look on the back, you'll see 2019, 18, and 17 for scrap. I put in there what we're actually diverting from the transfer stations on scrap metal, so you guys have a better idea of what that number looks like. Because I think it's important, especially with all the extra volume that's being pulled out, to make you guys aware of that.
And where does that scrap go?
It goes to a scrap yard, a local scrap yard, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Usually. We have, where's Charlie? Where was the other one? What was the name of that?
Sims.
Okay. Yeah. That was during COVID. We had to find another outlet at that time.
Is scrap metal?
Yeah. So you see, so 2017, 18, and 19 respectively, 334, 413, and 474 tons. And then you see last year, when we started to, Charlie started to stress it a lot more, diverting out of the transfer stations, we were up to almost 730 tons. Probably some of that was related to COVID too, with people cleaning stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we put a lot of emphasis, and the guys, on the floor have done an excellent job of making sure they're pulling it out. So we're at 368 tons so far.
Hey, but I want to add that we got more guys on the floor also.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Kathy, you spoke about that mm-hmm. for a couple of years now, trying to get more out of the waste stream by adding to the, and it was difficult to, get somebody, it's a busy place.
Dangerous.
So you want to make, it's dangerous.
You got to be really careful.
Mm-hmm. So, we managed to do that. I'm not gonna say 5 days a week, because we still struggle up on the sorting line. You need, 6 to 8 people up on the sorting line. So sometimes you gotta take one or two guys out of the building to get the recycling done. But we do have more people on the floor now. So, and like Tim just said, we do stress everybody.
Charlie, most of these people come through manpower?
No.
No?
No. Manpower's having a difficult time. They manpower right now, we have nobody from Manpower. Manpower is having a difficult time.
So how are you recruiting them?
Well, we hire people. So, we went on, Amy came up with this free website where it's called Indeed, and we've been going through that. Larry has been working. It's like a full-time job for Larry to go through all these people and to walk them around and make sure they're the right person for this type of job. So that's how we managed to do it, Charlie. There was a lot of time invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a difficult time to find new people, but we seem to be succeeding.
We did, and we're really lucky, because even on the heavy equipment end of it, we hired some really, really good, competent, qualified people, and I'm really proud to say that they work for us. They're doing a tremendous job. We got another one starting Wednesday. So I got to tell you, and again, it's been a full-time job, right, Larry? To go through these applicants. And we're still bulking up our team as we speak right now.
Okay. So that's our MSW report. This is that recycling in it too, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I did that too.
Okay. Do we need to talk about recycling, or are we?
No, it was a scrap I just wanted to hit on that report.
Okay.
Yeah, the numbers have been pretty consistent.
Okay, let's get to the treasurer's report.
Month of August, we did 9,625 MSW tons, 3,938 C&D tons. You'll see our variance between as of August of 2020 compared to August of 2021, that we are up MSW. We saw a dip through COVID on the MSW, which we had always believed was commercial related. Things are back open. So I don't think it's a surprise to see that up. Revenue line items of note, Leachette hauling box rental, $10,830 was higher, and that relates to Jockey Hill Leachette Halls and Ulster County Fair. Sale recyclables, this was, I'll speak a little more in detail on the MRF P&L, but we had a big month. As we know, prices are still high. We sold plastic loads that totaled $96,153 and tin loads $13,598. So our total for the month was $173,549. And just to make you guys aware, because I don't know how much I mentioned it, but I like to hit on it again. That number right there includes everything out of the MRF and diverted. So it's got the scrap metal revenue as well, whereas the MRF P&L does not have the scrap metal because it's not MRF revenue. So our total revenue for the month was $1,777,699. Down on the expense side, personnel was up because we had settled our contract a couple months ago, and the retro pay was included in there. $305,560 for the month. Administration expenses, $44,837. $20,966 was legal fees. Our HHW for August, the total of that was $29,016. Total operating expense for the month was $1,451,745, which gave us net operating revenues of $325,954. We had some capital outlay of $9,139. I've mentioned previously, we were done with the compost expansion and the concrete, but we did have some other work that we needed to do after a DEC visit. We had to move the brush. They wanted it moved onto the concrete padding, so we did a couple more pads to comply with them, and then we also have to put an extra row so that we have a containment area to dry up anything that might leach at, right,
Charlie? And the overs too, we had to bring and up overs, on concrete, yeah. So we had to expand the concrete. Yeah.
So that was DEC related. So for the month, our fund balance was a positive $316,815. Year to date, we crossed over in August, which is good, $36,914. So far so good. I mean, the gist of it is you know, we're over budget, so. That's why we're doing well.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to
accept?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
4-0.
Okay.
I just want to update the board on the DEC visit also, and I'm not going to speak for Larry, but it was a positive.
What timing?
It was a positive visit. I was not here at the time, so Larry showed him around. So Larry, you wanted to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Lynn, the monitor for our program from DEC came out. Lynn's a PE and has been with the department about 8 years. So she was extremely impressed at how the compost operation looked and the improvements that we made with reducing our tailings pile, getting all of the material onto concrete, and we, you know, starting some of the curbing and the other stuff that's required. Some of the concrete work, we had some delays over the month just trying to get materials. The concrete for larger projects, we weren't able to pour as quickly or as much as we had wanted to because shortage of trucks, drivers, and concrete, like every other industry. We had the opportunity to show around the facility a little bit. She was extremely impressed with the MRF and how well it was run and how much materials we were getting out, and actually how clean our material is compared to other MRFs. You know, the way that we still do dual stream recycling at the transfer stations and the stuff coming from Delaware County, the material is fantastic. So, like I said, all of that went well and we're moving forward.
And the garbage building, if you saw it too?
Yeah. You know, our MSW operation is always, you know, right on point.
Tell Kathy, we got to go into executive session.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to do public comments?
Okay.
26.
26?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Do we have the phone call?
Yeah, he's on 26. Yeah.
Okay. We have to go into executive session because we have a call coming in that we have to deal with right now. So we have to ask the guests to leave.
Pending litigation.
Yeah.
Which case, please?
Yeah.
I've written about it over and over again. You know what the response is. You can either tell me what the case is, or I can get
there's a multitude of them. So.
I can show our guests which room you can read in by.
Yeah, but which case?
Session.
Yeah, but I'm asking which case. And the short answer is the state says you do. And so did the courts. So.
Well, why don't you guess, Bill?
No, I don't want to guess. That's why I asked the question. So, which case is Catherine?
Well?
It is the case that you are very familiar with.
I'm not playing the game. What's
the... We have to deal with a FOIL request that has been refused, and we have to deal with March Gallagher's requests that we probably are not going to comply
with. It's pending litigation with the FOIL requests with and a decision.
Or March Gallagher's FOIL request.
Yes.
And the decision that came down from
our FOIL request to
somebody on the phone.
Okay.
Yeah, we gotta go. Come on.
I know you gotta go, but I also need to ask
Vamoose.
You.
Vamoose.
Please.
Just let's be nice.
And who are you?
My name is Abby Mitchell. I'm from Woodstock, New York, and I'm very interested in plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know about the woman in Africa who has discovered a way to...
We only have 10
Catherine, we only have 5 minutes with this
plastic term. And sand together to make building blocks.
Okay. Great. We'll talk to you when we have time. Okay. Got the door closed.
Where is he standing? Cause
I want Charlie. Can you make sure that they go down into the in Tim Rose's old office, please? Because Big Ears is out there, so.
Yeah, right.
To come out?
No, no, not to come out, but to do the exploratory.
Vote on anything.
No, no, we can't vote during executive session, but after about the
on that topic.
On that topic. The exploratory.
We don't have to vote on anything that was discussed.
Okay, we just have to vote to come out of
right.
The executive session,
yep.
And I think Lisa just ran.
Well,
so she's
make
out.
A motion, Charlie. Come out of the executive session.
So move.
And I'll
second
it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There's four, so
okay.
We come out of the executive session. Now we can bring Mr. Reynolds. Mr. Reynolds.
Yeah.
Wish it was you, Reynolds. He'd be easier.
More, that would say.
Mr. Kimball may come back in.
So, is he in Tim's old office?
We have him locked up somewhere.
Okay.
I think they're in Tim Rose's office.
Tom, so you know, I think we're going to try and get everything out by at least Thursday. That was discussed before the meeting.
So don't move to
Thanks.
Texas because you have to carry all the name changes and the copies of your marriage license and
in
your
Texas?
Birth certificate. Yes.
I'm not moving to Texas.
Okay,
don't worry about that.
No, no. just telling you.
So Angie, with all those times you were having those 5-hour hamburgers, I never met this guy.
I'm sure that you have.
Okay, he was at the
I'm
table.
I'm sure that you have.
Right, now I'm starting to think, yeah, that there was a couple extra people at that table.
Yeah, I miss going to that.
I was just gonna
do that
again.
Do that again?
Or to do it?
Are you gonna do that again? Or just that's how I found out it.
I remember. Good.
She told me.
And Brittany's older.
Yeah, right.
2 years old.
Brittany went to school.
And
my sister.
It was like a weird
year
old.
Brittany graduated in 2008, age 210.
There you go.
In between was their best buddy, Jackie. Jackie Lizette.
I was just about to ask what a floxy was. There it is.
I do know Jackie.
That's what I was going to ask.
Her mother, Jackie's mother was my
What, do you just follow this?
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know how to find anything more.
Oh, no, you told me about it when we were walking, and then you were going to send it to me, and you never, you didn't, and I just slipped my mind completely.
That was Meg's second career. She worked for IBM.
Keep it on speaker.
She's got to work longer because she didn't start to get her
Charlie, you're bailing 10 tons of OCC a day about?
Right now we're on a hard
Okay. Sorry. Unmute yourself. We're being asked to unmute yourself. To unmute, press star 6. You're unmuted.
I mean, it's great that you're doing that level of material, but otherwise it's just a compactor.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, we have two compactors. We have one that can do
I think did you vote on the treasurer's report? So we're on the Murph P&L then.
And
who's up with the Murph?
It's a tough machine. Very slow.
Did we vote to come out of executive
session? Yes,
we did. Charlie,
are you doing the Murph?
I'm sorry.
Are you doing the Murph?
No, I'm
going
to grab this.
Okay.
All right. August, we had a big August. Total sale of recyclables, $162,721. $96,153 of that was plastic. As I had said on the treasurer's report, you know, the markets are still high. The last time we had a month this big was in 2011. So it's been a decade. The transportation disposal cost for the month was $5,952, which gave us net revenues of
$156,769. That's nice to see.
Personnel expenses for the month, $56,131. As I had mentioned on the treasurer's too, there's some retro in there. Operating expenses, $4,553, giving us a total for personnel and operating of $60,000. $684. So our net income for the month was $96,085. So our year to date is a net income of $133,652. Anything you want to add to that, Charlie?
Yeah, Tim mentioned 2011. I just want to let everybody know that 2011 we did more volume. Market prices were lower. They were good, but they were lower. Right now, the markets are higher than I've ever seen before.
Why is that?
Well, actually, it's about supply and demand. Everything's picking open. Everything's starting up, and you know they need raw materials to build things. So that's what it is. I reached out to a couple of brokers that I deal with, and they're predicting maybe up until spring of next year, you'll see these prices. So listen, I've heard these things before. We tried to forecast fibers and stuff, right, Tim? And you know we would get dates that never even came true. So I can only tell you what they predicted for this particular situation. They're saying maybe spring of next year you might see your markets fall down to normal. Your collar prices are when you look at this graph right here, and you start looking at the there's two different numbers, right? So you got domestic and you got export, right? Export is always much higher, especially on the fibers. When you look at your cardboard's higher than it ever was. Your colors is what your natural prices are normally at. Your natural prices are off the charts. And even like your low-grade plastics, your 3-7s, right? Which is really the only value there is the 4-5s, that's it. These prices, you would never see, those kind of numbers. That's where the peak numbers should be.
But specifically, why is the plastic selling? We couldn't get rid of it.
Because they shut everything down. So during the COVID, they shut everything down. So now they're opening up. They're trying to produce things. That's why fiber's so high. Toilet paper, junk mail makes great paper towels and toilet paper. So, you know, they're trying to get the shelves stocked back up. And now we're having a problem with the sea containers getting here with the supplies.
Yeah.
In California and New Jersey.
Who are we selling the plastic to? Because no one would take it a year.
So here's the thing. So I use one end buyer. So, you know, and that's the color that goes to Pennsylvania. And I sell the cardboard Syracuse and Canada. So half of my cardboard stays domestic. Half of my hard mix stays domestic. All the plastic stays domestic. My Goya cans, the tin cans, right, all stay domestic. The aluminum stays domestic, so it's staying domestic. I'm not going across the ocean with it.
All right, that explains it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody making stuff let their inventory run down, so now they've got to make up for the inventory they didn't stock and what they need also.
Here's the thing. They didn't let it run down. Nobody predicted COVID, right? So
right.
When everything started tightening up, shutting down, everybody working from home, the factories weren't producing, you know what I mean? Everybody just hoarded. Just like you do with every hurricane. Every hurricane that's going to hit, everybody, you just try to go in and buy water. Forget about it. You can't buy bottled water. So nobody could predict it. So all of a sudden the shelves are dry. The factories still aren't open. People want it. It's the old, you know, business 101, right? It's supply and demand. So there's not a lot of supply and there's a huge demand. So when there's a huge demand, people just pay more.
Not only that, but the fuel index is going up and the cost of oil and the cost to make virgin plastic from virgin raw materials is a huge player in that too. As you see, the cost of gas is inching up. So that's why, you know, there's a more higher demand
for
recycled content.
And that ties in, Angie's 100% right, that the fuel ties in there. So when you have rock bottom prices on fuel, right, it's cheaper to buy the virgin plastic than it is to use recycled plastic. You also got a lot of people that are building things, right, that are trying to use post-consumer plastic, recycled plastic, right, because it's a good thing to do. Mostly natural, though. That's the big demand, because you can't take ink out of plastic, but you can add ink, so everybody gets their signature color. Tide gets their orange, Armor Hammer gets their yellow, but you can't take that out of the plastic. So that's why it's a lower grade plastic, the number two color. So PE's always been flat, 11 to 15 cents. You know, that's way up too, double. So you're not going to see this again. When COVID's gone, a year from now, you're not going to see these prices again. And you do have flukes when things get weak, you know, in the recycling business, right, they call it, in the market business, they call it scary high. So when things climb, like in 08, it just, when it drops hard and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets stuck. So people don't get paid, things don't move. Boats are out, back in 08, you know, the fiber boat, they're out in the middle of the ocean. They didn't know where to go, you know, which port to go to. They just sat there. So those times are scary. These times right now, it's just about getting the shelves filled.
Mm-hmm.
Making product. So it's going to take a long time.
So when I'm going through my stuff, getting ready to go to the transfer station, and there's these little numbers on the plastic stuff, what numbers should I be putting into the transfer station box?
Well, that's the $100,000 question, right, Ann?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The industry is really moving away from the number system because there's a much more complex stream of plastic containers that are available to consumers today. So Melinda and I promote that people should look at the shape of the container and not necessarily the number. The number is not a good indicator of recyclability anymore when it comes to the average consumer looking at the items that they have in their home. Because there could be a number on anything. We always say that. There's a number on your laundry basket. There's a number on a Barbie doll. There's a number on, just miscellaneous, bulky, rigid plastics that aren't necessarily acceptable for recycling. So that's why we go by the shapes. Here at Ucker, we say if it's a bottle, a jug, a tub, a jar, or a lid, those are the shapes that we want people to associate with their curbside recycling programs.
Mm-hmm.
But as Charlie mentioned before, you know, generally speaking, ones, twos, fours, and fives are very highly and readily recyclable, but it has to be in the correct shape in order for it to make its way through that whole recycling system. So when in doubt, look at the shape.
So even though I might have a whole stack of these little things that my frozen dinner comes in, and they're numbered.
Trays are not one of those shapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a tray that food is packaged on, those are not one of the shapes. The clamshell containers, the domes that you get from the bakery, those are not the shapes that are really highly recoverable. And there are all different numbers printed on them. It's
and
never consistent.
Stuff,
yeah,
I don't put that in recycling.
So stick to the bottles, jugs, jars, and tubs. Those are the shapes that we can really effectively capture.
We're going to have Cher do a song about that.
We always try to see how I repeated it several times, because that's how it sticks with people. If you come up with a jingle or you just remember that.
There's two things I want to say. Angie touched on one of them, clamshells. So when we talk about clamshells, a lot of people, recycle clamshells. Then it's like, I talked to my Canada folks, and I didn't just, this is, we talk about this often. Even if there was a way to decide which clamshell was a number one and which were not, you can't mix them in with the number one PET water bottles. It's considered contamination. It's a lower grade plastic. Nobody wants it. They want the PET water bottles. That's what they want. Mm. The other thing I want to touch on is, right, is while we talk about prices on the market that are very high, right, I want you to just notice, right, that there's still no value for glass. Well, why plastic and not glass, right? Well, because everything's made in plastic. So I love glass. I think it's probably one of the healthiest things you can drink. I keep glass all the time in my house. I barely throw a bottle away. But there's still no value for glass. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that.
You want to vote on the resolution?
Yes, I think we're going to get to that. Let's see. So, resolution number 2537, approving agreement with Marshall and Sterling Health Dental and Vision Plans for employee health care insurance, which we must have in our pile of goodies.
Yeah.
So this is our annual renewal. These specific plans tie in with our collective bargaining agreement. So we don't necessarily have wiggle room on that. MVP, I know on this plan, requested 6.6% increase with the state. They ended up only doing 5%, so that's what we're going up on that. Our dental plan stayed flat, and our vision plan actually went down slightly, you know, like $1 a month in premium. It was very, very small. All things considered, I mean, that's actually pretty good, 5%.
And just for your edification, these are the type of plans that under the contract with the union that we have.
Okay, so we basically have just a rubber stamp this.
Yeah. We don't have any wiggle room on this.
Okay.
But the broker and the insurance company need the resolution and sign off on the agreement, so that's why.
And the financial impact is an absolute number. That's not a
variance. Yeah, I actually number. When I do this, so like that number you'll see if you were to look at the budget is a little bit different. So 2 months ago when I did it, right, we had slightly different employees, or they were in a different plan. Andrew, I hate to use you as an example.
It's okay, use me.
She was single, right? She just got married. But when I did that, I used actuals, and I estimated a 6.6% increase. But when I did this financial impact, because I had new numbers, so I think the change is, I think it was like 19 or 20 grand, a little bit higher, because of some changes we had.
Yeah, so I understand it's a snapshot in time. Yeah. I was just saying it's not like a new impact.
No. It's a strictly...
Yeah,
I could
continue.
Yep.
So I will
make a motion.
Make a motion to accept resolution 2547.
All right.
Okay.
Vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
5-0 passes.
Okay, moving right along to resolution 2548, authorization for revision of the office managers and operations manager job descriptions. Do we have those descriptions?
They're attached there.
So, I'll just start off telling Tom, before you got here, we had discussed this. So, from now on, if it's resolution related or something needs to be reviewed, we'll get it out on a Wednesday. But I did ask that, like, my reports and treasurer's reports, I'll still hold off until Friday because I like to have the extra time for all the invoices to process and that stuff. So that's no problem. These two job descriptions are already on the books. They're already approved, through the county and all that stuff. But they are positions that I would like to fill due to changes in reorganization that I've discussed over the past year.
The operations manager job will fall underneath Charlie, and will handle really the day-to-day operations, just as it states. One small example of a task that I can take out of Charlie's hands, for instance, would be time cards, mm-hmm. and scheduling and that type of stuff, so that he can work on you know bigger ticket items, certainly with long-term planning. And it'll take a lot of the tedious stuff and day-to-day stuff off his plate, which is important as well. And then the office manager job, we've got, there is a pending retirement that we knew was coming along the way. Mm-hmm. So this is just an opportunity to tweak the office a little and to move some job tasks around. So this was kind of discussed tentatively when I had mentioned reorg about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And this is really just taking job descriptions we already had on the books that used to be filled, then we had other changes, and it's really, it was updating it because there was some tasks that were in there in the past that they don't apply it anymore.
One of these is like from 2016, right?
I don't think we've had an office manager position filled
2012,
since
sorry.
2007 even, so
yeah,
those tasks just got dispersed.
Yeah.
And the operations manager, Charlie was the operations manager, and he's undergone some changes that have all been approved and passed through the board. But I think with us, with us growing and the volume increasing, it's just the need to insert that, I think, is just to become important again.
Well, I'll make a motion to accept Resolution 2548.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes 5-0.
And we have Resolution 2549 approving the amendment to the personal policy manual.
So this is this kind of ties in with making the office personnel manual, the agency overall personnel manual, tie in with the changes that we had with the collective bargaining agreement. Exhibit A references leave benefits. So effective January 1st of 2022, everyone always had 5 personal days. We had actually gotten rid of the 5 personal days and converted. Anybody hired before January 1st of 2021, they get an additional 3 vacation days. So we kind of swap 5 personal days with 3 vacation days. Certainly for me, personal days, it was always, I always felt like they were taking a single vacation days anyway. So it kind of eliminates that unnecessary problem that we had dealt with. And that was why we did it on the collective bargaining agreement. And I'm just making a match on the administrative side as well. And then on the health benefits side, it's the same thing. It used to be certain dates people were hired, they contributed 15 and 20%, and we just switched that down to 10%. One of the things that we recently did is, trying to hire a bunch of people. We're just trying to make things more appealing. We do not have, I don't know if everyone's aware, we don't have any post-retirement benefits here, which is a huge savings for the agency compared to all the other governmental entities and municipalities. So I don't have a problem really with paying out better benefits while people are currently working, because we save so much on the back end by not paying retirees' health and all that.
I just want to add on this whole thing that Tim touched on with the personal time. It was always controversial because people were trying to take vacation days for personal days and sick days for personal days and stuff. And there was a page and a half of how you can use personal time. So it was
convoluted.
It was always an argument with the employees and stuff. But the contract is a contract, so we certainly follow the contract. So this takes away a lot of that. And anybody hired after January 1st, 2000, they don't get the 3 additional days.
Correct.
It's just the existing employees before 2020. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that.
Plus, there was a lot of problems about bereavement. Somebody wanted bereavement days when the person had actually died several months earlier, and it just didn't make any sense.
6 months earlier.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make it all less convoluted, really.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that, we did add, and that's not here, though, we did add something, so when there's a death in a family, the bereavement time starts effective And one of the things they didn't do was, is there was a change in 2008, right, Tim, from 5 down to 3,
mm-hmm.
and there was never a date put on there, so it was like effective this signing of this contract, and it was just carried. So you had to go all the way back to 2008 and find out which contract it was. So that date was in there, and also what Catherine's talking about, some clarity as far as when you'd start using the bereavement time. It's effective the day if a person passes.
Just makes it easier for everybody, employees
Absolutely.
And administration.
Absolutely.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Okay. I'll second what's in front of us. That's the bereavement part, because I'd like to see that written out. And I'd also like to know who, is it for a grandparent? Is it, was it immediate family for bereavement? Or, how far out?
Both are covered. So there's a definition on what the immediate family is.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's your grandmother, your stepbrother or something, there is time that you can take, but it's less than the 3. It's a 1 day that you get for, a stepbrother or maybe it's not a stepbrother, maybe it's, a grandmother or something. I don't know what it is, but there is a definition and a difference between the times. So they used to get 5 days. I know I was a shop steward that put that in there. They used to get 5 days for like mother, father, brother, sister, and I think even grandparents, because the argument was that some grandparents, a lot of grandparents, raised
the kid.
So mm-hmm. I think it was that for that, but I think when it gets into like foster brothers and sisters and stepbrothers and sisters, there's actually a change on the time that's allowed, because it's not actually immediate family. Don't quote me on what exactly,
okay.
I don't
okay.
know if that's right, but there's a difference.
I believe we voted on that, passed 5-0.
Did we vote on that? No, we didn't vote on it. I don't think we have a second yet. Did we?
You were the second.
I was the second.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All in favor?
Early.
Aye.
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 Charlie?
Aye.
5-0.
I have a nice up page there.
Do you have to go on anything from the executive session?
No.
No.
Okay. I think
that was advisory.
Okay. Any other things to discuss?
Under old business, I just want to bring up, we had the discussion of the vaccination policy, and there's a code of conduct and conflict of interest and notification thereof. I want to have a governance committee meeting to discuss those 3, and then we'll bring it to the board
okay.
for those 3 items.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shoot out an email.
Yeah.
That's so
only because it's almost midterm, and I have a conference
uh-huh.
happening.
And we can always do that one through Zoom if we want to, if it's even easier for everyone.
Okay.
Could our visitors
speak? Oh.
Sure.
Do we
have time for that?
Thank you. You're saying that only certain shapes of plastic will be accepted. That's very aggressive. As we know, plastic is so ubiquitous. There's film plastic. There's all kinds of in-between plastics. What are we supposed to do with them?
At this time, it goes into the garbage.
Yeah.
Correct.
Sorry, you got to remember.
Second would be good for me.
But I hear so much about film plastics being pressed into bench. Park benches and stuff.
So let me explain. So there's, anything, I just want to say this, anything's recycled, but you have to have enough. So you've got
to
have at least 44,000 pounds once a month, or don't bother. I mean, that's just the way it is. You don't have, nobody wants to buy it unless you have a lot of it so they can rely on it. So everything, if I had 44,000 pounds of garden hoses, palletized. I could find a market.
So
you gotta have enough of a word.
And I have a conference here.
It. I just
so the 22nd would be good.
Okay. It doesn't keep killing the planet.
Right. And I agree, but you have to be able
and
to sell it to recycle it. So you have to have enough of it to recycle
right.
it. So they all go hand in hand.
Nothing to do with that, because I've heard a lot about plastics. I mean, Hannaford, Hannaford Stores, I asked them, they have a corporate policy of taking film plastic.
So we're not responsible for Hannaford's stream, so like, you gotta talk to Hannaford's about that.
So you don't care about that?
We do not accept film plastic here as a separate stream.
We do not.
So the plastic bags are recyclable, but by law in New York State, they have to be taken back to a designated retailer. So if there's a store that's a chain store of 5,000 square feet or more, and they provide film plastics or plastic bags, they're required to have a recycling program in place. So places like Hannaford, Home Depot, Walmart, Target, etc., those are required by law to have a film plastic or plastic bag recycling center.
So it's not just Hannaford.
No.
Correct. It's any big box store. So those plastic
bags
are in fact getting recycled. You mentioned they can be pressed into park benches or composite decking. For the purpose of your recycling bin at home, the plastic bags should never go in there. And that's not just our policy. That is industry-wide. Plastic bags cannot be sorted in the recycling bin.
So what about, I just bought a sandwich, okay, that came in a little piece of plastic. What do I do with that?
Throw in the garbage.
No. No, I won't do that.
You can be like my grandmother and wash it out and press it.
See you later, Tom.
Dry. Right? And my grandmother would reuse it because she couldn't.
Now, you might be interested in one thing we're trying to do. There's a company in California.
Yes, I saw that in the notes.
That actually takes the plastic and makes it into blocks.
Now, there is a woman in Africa, I wish I could give you her name and country, who has discovered a way to take plastic, that kind of plastic, and combine it with sand in some way and make bricks out of it for building. I wish I had her name to give you.
That's what she's talking about.
I just want to share that there are organizations in New York State who meet virtually, who do activism and policy influencing on the plastics issue. If you're interested, I can connect you with them if you're interested.
Would you please?
Yeah.
And there's Judith Think beyond plastics.
Yes.
She does a lot of stuff too. She's online. She was the EPA administrator in New York City.
I'd be very interested in hearing about the company in California.
I mean, Judith was in all behind that company because of fumes and other things with the plastic bricks.
First of all, she only wrote to one person who was on our board. I think it was you. And second of all, she had all these criticisms, but she doesn't really know about it. I mean, it's like,
with exploring, but I just want to say that there are criticisms of these. That's just all I'm putting out there, right? Mm-hmm. That there are criticisms for doing that.
Well, you could criticize the beginning of using plastic in the first place, you know.
And what was said about glass? What do you do with glass?
We can sell it, we get rid of it.
The glass ends up going through our MRF and it's mixed with other contaminants. We don't separate the contaminants out because we can't. We have no possible method of doing it.
Contaminants?
Yeah, like, you know, garbage, you know, lids, caps, anything that doesn't make it through the de-screening.
So it just gets buried?
It's garbage.
At least glass isn't going to contaminate anything.
But the bottles and jars we do use as a beneficial, so it's not the bottles and jars that come in whole from our drop center. So the places, if you go to one of our drop centers and you put bottles or jars in there, that is a beneficial use. But the MRF glass that's mixed in, that goes up our sorter line, that's mixed with everything else, by the time the process is over, it's garbage.
So I have to put the glass not in my recycling container, but in something else?
Yeah, if you go to one of our drops, or where do you live?
I live in Worcester.
So if you were to go to the Sorbonne's transfer station, there would be a separate bin for the glass.
Yeah, that's where I compost, but I've never noticed a separate bin.
Yeah, no, they do.
Okay, I'll ask them.
Okay. Yep, they do. And Melinda knows her from Melinda's father works there, right, Melinda? So, you know, so they do have a separate bin for glass.
Mm-hmm. Glass is separate, and then the other things are mixed together.
Bottles and jars, though, not window panes, knickknacks, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, Tim, I would like to add on our old business also. We did hear from the state, the DEC, about our new pulse permit. So we're in the process of satisfying additional information that they want. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. We're very optimistic. In that permit was a modification for a change in hours on the new book, and it's all of our places uniform in hours. So everything will be 6 to 3. So we're really looking forward to doing that, to make things simpler for everybody else on what's open and how long they're open and what time they open.
How's the compost education facility coming?
We got the building up. We got Flossie. Flossie up. So you know, once things stop, people stop wasting our time. You know, maybe we can start getting to some things that we wanted to do for a long time.
But we have met and discussed plans for the start of that.
We have
get the wall up first,
but
and
that,
how
but
we're
that
gonna
is
insulate.
Also
we're waiting in the gutters too. We remember we got to get the. We
but
just
that,
got the quote on the gutters, because the off the MRF. The water is dripping down and can get in, so we've got to take care of that problem first before we can start really working inside.
Right.
So.
But there is a lot of things wasting our time, such as the modifications that we wanted to do for the property and stuff. So, you know,
but we did start on it, though. So
we did, 100%. So that's where we stand on that. Was that your question?
And the Kingston permit got renewed, right?
I'm sorry?
The Kingston permit.
The new ours here yet renewed,
yes. But it did get renewed.
Yes,
right.
So new pulse is the, you know, and then 5 years from now we'll have to redo it again. So we're in the process of doing that. That's a huge victory for us. Permits are always a little bit complicated.
Mm-hmm. When does the hours change for new pulse?
As soon as we get the permit. Larry and I had talked about that. They're adamant about waiting until the permit's issued.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to adjourn.
Sorry. I second the
motion. And I will vote with
my feet.
All in favor?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
You're spoken like a true college professor.
Isn't it?
I can go connect you with the.
So I'm going to take one of these and then hope it fits into my.
Yes,
did you want